reserved and solitary man. He might have been more accurately described as a widower devoted to his only surviving child. Although he was not more than 40 years of age, the one pleasure which made life enjoyable to Lucy's father was offered by Lucy herself. Playing with her ball, the child ran on to the southern limit of the gardens, at that part of it which still remains nearest to the old palace of Kensington. Observing close at hand one of those spacious covered seats, called in England alcoves, Mr. Raeburn was reminded that he had the morning's newspaper in his pocket, and that he might do well to rest and read. At that early hour the place was a solitude. "Go on playing, my dear," he said, "but take care to keep where I can see you." Lucy tossed up her ball, and Lucy's father opened his newspaper. He had not been reading for more than 10 minutes when he felt a familiar little hand laid on his knee. "Tired of playing?" he inquired, with his eyes still on the newspaper.
"I'm frightened, Papa."
He looked up directly. The child's pale face startled him. He took her on his knee and kissed her. "You oughtn't to be frightened, Lucy, when I am with you," he said gently. "What is it?" He looked out of the alcove as he spoke, and saw a little dog among the trees. "Is it the dog?" he asked. Lucy answered,
"It's not the dog, it's the lady."
The lady was not visible from the alcove. "Has she said anything to you?" Mr. Raeburn inquired.
"No."
"What has she done to frighten you?" The child put her arms around her father's neck.
"Whisper, Papa," she said. "I'm afraid of her hearing us. I think she's mad."
"Why do you think so, Lucy?"
"She came near to me. I thought she was going to say something. She seemed to be ill."
"Well, and what then?"
"She looked at me."
There Lucy found herself at a loss how to express what she had to say next, and took refuge in silence. "Nothing very wonderful so far," her father suggested.
"Yes, Papa, but she didn't seem to see me when she looked."
"Well, and what happened then?"
"The lady was frightened, and that frightened me, I think," the child repeated positively. "She's mad."
It occurred to Mr. Raeburn that the lady might be blind. He rose at once to set the doubt at rest. "Wait here," he said, "and I'll come back to you." But Lucy clung to him with both hands. Lucy declared that she was afraid to be by herself. They left the alcove together. The new point of view at once revealed the stranger leaning against the trunk of a tree. She was dressed in the deep mourning of a widow. The pallor of her face, the glassy stare in her eyes, more than accounted for the child's terror. It excused the alarming conclusion at which she had arrived.
"Go nearer to her," Lucy whispered.
They advanced a few steps. It was now easy to see that the lady was young and wasted by illness. But, arriving at a doubtful conclusion, perhaps, under the present circumstances, apparently possessed of rare personal attractions in happier days. As the father and daughter advanced a little, she discovered them. After some hesitation, she left the tree, approached with an evident intention of speaking, and suddenly paused. A change to astonishment and fear animated her vacant eyes. If it had not been plain before, it was now beyond all doubt that she was not a poor blind creature, deserted and helpless. At the same time, the expression of her face was not easy to understand. She could hardly have looked more amazed and bewildered if the two strangers who were observing her had suddenly vanished from the place in which they stood. Mr. Raeburn spoke to her with the utmost kindness of voice and manner. "I am afraid you are not well," he said. "Is there anything that I can do?" The next words were suspended on his lips. It was impossible to realize such a state of things, but the strange impression that she had already produced on him was now confirmed.